Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And the big decision that needs to be made is by Brian Cashman today concerning Trent Grisham. We will get to that in just a few minutes. But we've had a lot of discussions around Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, namely that Sean started the show by saying he heard from numerous sources that Brian Daboll was going to be fired a couple of weeks ago after the Denver loss, and that someone in ownership needed to be talked out of it. But it certainly tells us that Brian Daboll is on the hottest of hot seats. Meanwhile, Joe Shane feels like he is safe, which has caused a giant civil war. You may have just heard a little bit of it between Tommy and Sean, both great Giant fans, arguing who sucks more at their job, Joe Shane or Brian Daboll. I put that poll out 2 days ago, and the results were an even split. So I think you guys do a good job of representing the various opinions concerning who done it.
I agree, and a great show idea just came to me, and I think we could pencil it in maybe bye week between the playoff championship games and the Super Bowl. You and Tiki have a Lugash debate series about who sucks more at their job, me or Lugie.
Wow.
We can have some fun with that.
Wow.
I'm thick-skinned enough.
I don't think you guys suck at your job. Why would you think that?
Hold on. That's not the beauty of the Lugash debate series. It's just make a case.
Yeah, but no. You're wrong. You guys both genuinely are defending or ripping the other side here.
Yeah.
Tiki and I wouldn't employ you if we thought you sucked at your job.
Suck.
No.
So why would you put us in a position to say that?
Hold on. The question is, who sucks more at their job? Even if you don't think we suck at our job, somebody has to suck more at it. There's always somebody who sucks more at something.
Yeah, but the whole point of that, what if they both agree that I suck the most? That's a rough week for me, both think I suck more
lazy
than
and
you.
Stupid.
Well, I'm just looking to have some fun.
Can I compliment Tommy Lugow for a second?
Sure.
It's going to be backhanded at first. That's okay. Apologize. You know the way it is.
I do, yes. I've been here a long time.
Most of the time, your Twitter account is boring and redundant. But sometimes,
Lugie,
you supply a gem. And last night, I received the shrapnel of a Tommy Lugower gem. I must admit, even if I was sort of the subject of the mockery, Tommy tweeted, "The New York Knicks at home," and put a beautiful picture of his love, Sidney Sweeney. Great. Funny. And then he said, "New York Rangers at home," and it was a picture of me. And I came across it and I laughed. But I had one question. And again, I have no problem with it. I think it's funny. I also appreciate that you used actually a good picture of me and not me, you know, with my nipples hanging
out.
And
that was by design.
Thank you.
I thought it would be mean-spirited. This is an old picture of Evan. You look like an extra in Office Space. You got a goatee, the porn goatee going on. It's a good picture of you.
I agree.
No, biggie.
You look like the dorky dude in an office building. You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm a functional-looking human being in that picture.
Yes.
But I thought it would have made more sense, I hate to say it, to make fun of Sean. He's the Ranger fan who's slightly overweight. Why would you put a picture of me? I have nothing to do with this.
Do I have to tell you how the sausage is made? I'll give you the real answer.
Because that was my first reaction. I thought it was funny. And again, I got no problem being the subject of the jokes. But since Sean's the Ranger fan, it would sting even more to use his picture to represent how inept the Rangers are at home.
Before you answer, I just want to say, before I forget, thank you for saying slightly overweight. Now go ahead.
More than slightly. But I was aura farming. Like, more people know who you are, more people will get the joke. That's
what does aura farming mean?
Meaning I'm using the clout of Sidney Sweeney and you, Evan Roberts, to enhance the engagement.
So you're
on
saying
the post.
Sean doesn't have enough aura to make
I
fun
think
of
that,
him?
I don't think, Sean, that's not a slight at you. Evan's been here forever. He's one of the most long, I mean, you and Boomer, right, are the two most longest tenured hosts here. So I think it's just better for you. Plus, it was more, then I would be being mean-spirited because I would imply that Sidney Sweeney's breasts are just as big as Sean's. And I think that's me. And we're in the holiday season. I don't want to be mean.
Look.
Don't give me that look.
What, you talk to my wife last night? She said the same thing.
You feeling froggy? Jump. Don't give me that sidewise look. I'm trying to be nice here.
All right.
I thought it was funny.
It is funny because I was watching the basketball last night. The Nets somehow won a game. And the Knicks were obviously dominating in the second half. And I was thinking that same thought, like, how are the Rangers so inept at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
And yet the Knicks walk into the Garden and it's like, what up? Like, they just pimp daddies, you know? They just roll. And the Rangers are confused. They can't score a goal at home. The whole thing is very weird.
It is very weird. But you know what? Saturday night when Schaefer goes down his leg, the Rangers will figure it out at home.
Don't pick on my guy, Matthew Schaefer, because what he did yesterday, pull this audio up, Connor. I got to show America how amazing Matthew Schaefer is. So for those that are not aware, of course, first overall pick, New York Islanders, blah, 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 blah. He's having a great year. What are you laughing about?
Just laughing that I had no idea you had Schaefer audio ready when I just...
Yeah, well, I've got Schaefer audio. In fact, I'm going to bring WFAN together full circle.
All right.
So first of all, Matthew Schaefer has been living with Boomer's daughter and son-in-law, which is public knowledge. And also, the subject of this clip I'm about to play is Henrik Lundqvist, who happened to appear earlier today with our midday show, BT and Sal. Last night on TNT, Matthew Schaefer is being interviewed. The first question he's being asked is from Henrik Lundqvist. You're going to hear Henrik Lundqvist's question, which is a fair question, and watch this badass Matthew Schaefer let the world know and let this city know what he thinks of the New York Rangers and what he thinks of his new hometown of Long Island. Take a listen.
Matthew, thanks so much for coming on. Liam McHugh, Paul Bissonnette, Anson Carter, Henrik Lundqvist. Hank, you're up first.
Matthew, congrats on a great start to your NHL career. I want to ask you, I remember my rookie year, I had moments throughout that season where I really had to pinch myself because I was faced against some of my childhood heroes. I'm thinking about Dominic Hasek especially and Marty Brodeur. Have you had a couple of those moments yet? And who are the players, if that's the case?
First off, it's pretty tough to get a Ranger asking the first question about the Long Island native here. Yeah. So, you know, I'd rather the Long Island native ask me first, but I'll let this one slide. But yeah.
The kid gets it.
Shame
he
daddy
understands.
Coming in hot.
How about that?
Hey, it's...
That's pretty good.
He went out. Now, he's referring to Liam McHugh, who is from Long Island, who is the studio host. Matthew Schaefer, without missing a beat, told the stud Hall of Fame goaltender, shut your mouth, you're a Ranger. Let me hear from Liam McHugh. He's from Long Island. This is a teenager who gets it.
Yeah, it's tough not to like this kid.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough not to
like
this. It does beg the question.
Well, by the way, before you even say a word... Just to take you behind the scenes, every time I talk about how in love I am with Matthew Schaefer, Sean's wise crack back is, well, in 6 years, he's going to be a Ranger. Still think that way, big boy?
I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dude. John Tavares loved the island, too.
Let's go. Rangers.
That's different. There's an important...
Never compare the two.
Well,
I will kill you. I'm just kidding.
There's a very important Matt Schaefer question that nobody has asked that needs to be asked.
Go ahead.
It is the holiday season, is it not? Or it's about to be. Depends on what you want.
I mean, it's November 6th.
Is Christmas music playing in the malls and stores?
No.
It is around me.
I walked by several stores today that had Christmas trees already up.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
If not, we are on the cusp of the holiday season.
Okay. What's your point?
Boomer's got to buy Schaefer a Christmas gift, right? It's like his foster grandson now.
Because he lives... No, I think it's the other way around. He's living... At the house of his daughter and son-in-law. Why the hell does Boomer have to get him anything?
Boomer can't show up to that house and have all the other grandkids get gifts from Grandpa Boompa and not Schaefer. Schaefer's a kid living in that house.
So is he going to give him a dopey Ranger jersey that he can wipe his car with?
No, how about just something, you know, I don't know, a gift card to Best Buy.
You got to
get him a gift.
Would that be tampering if Boomer brought him a Ranger jersey? Would he be recruiting him?
I don't know.
By the way, I'm not worried about that because knowing Matthew Schaefer's attitude, he would literally use it to clean up dog poo on the side of the road. Like, you have to appreciate about this guy. First of all, he's such a young guy. He's gotten off to a great start in his NHL career. And jokes aside, the kid knows how to play the game.
He does.
He's screwing with the Rangers. During his post-game interviews, he hollers at the top of his lungs. Like, he is trying his best. I know it's the Islanders. It's hockey. He's a defenseman. I get it. He's got a few strikes against him. He's coming for that crown. So Aaron Judge and Jalen Brunson, be on alert. The kid is coming. He's coming for that crown. Anyhow, let's get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Dom is in New Rochelle. What's going on today, Dom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
100% Joe Shane needs to be fired. How many drafts has he had? He had four, right? And out of those four drafts, how many first and second round players have he hit on besides Dart and Neighbors? There's not enough foundational pieces with this team in those early rounds of the draft, and there's no depth on this team. And my second thing is, if they were going to fire Dable in Denver, I mean, I would have just left Shane Bowen in Denver, first off. But what does that say about the organization that if they were going to fire somebody and after Denver, why wouldn't they just do it?
Yeah, Sean, why didn't they just do it then?
As far as why, all I know is in ownership, a decision was made to fire him. Within ownership, there was a discussion about it. There's more than one person in charge of what's going on. And after discussion, quote, cooler heads prevail. That's all I can tell you. That means that it's not one person that is making this decision. They have to converse with others. After conversing, we're going to keep them for a little bit longer.
You're listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Rich in North Brantford. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
When did the NFL decide that the coach and the GM are married together? It never used to be that way. It used to be the GM would get at least two or three coaches to go through it. Now it seems like if the coach got to go, the GM has to go. I mean, it never used to be to be like that. When did that change and why?
I don't even think, Rich, it's changed. I think it's a situation by situation. So the New York Giants had Dave Gettleman. Dave Gettleman went through head coaches. Jerry Reese went through head coaches. At the point of getting rid of Gettleman and getting rid of Judge, the New York Giants decided, let's blow the whole thing up.
Right.
Let's start over completely. And by doing that, they brought in two guys that were very connected to each other in Joe Shane and Brian Dable. I think that we as fans or talk show hosts or Giant fans or IFOs, independent football observers, are calculating, hey, this is what's happened in 4 years. Most of us, not all of us, because Tommy's made the case it should just be Dable gone, not Joe Shane, but I think most people are looking at the results and saying they came in together, The results suck together, they're both deserving blame together, let's fire them together. So I don't think that's an NFL thing more than it is a situation-by-situation thing.
Correct. And the Giants are a little different in that, remember, the Joe Shane and Brian Dable, if you could take yourself back 4 years, that was different than what the Giants typically did. What the Giants typically did, since they are such a family-run business, is they go with familiarity. Dave Gettleman had worked for the organization. Jerry Reese came up with the organization. They really went outside the box to hire Joe Shane and allowed him to also continue to go outside the box to hire Dable, and that is also why they're connected together. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount+. Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
John in Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Dom actually stole my point earlier, but here's a confession. I've been listening for a long time. I do love you guys, but I still can't tell the difference between Sean and Tommy. I don't know why. I think it's an issue with me, and I can't know who to hate when.
Well, here's what we should do, because you're clearly not the only one, because we took a caller earlier on in the show who said something and quoted Tommy, and it was something that was said by Sean. So I think right now we're going to play a game. Yeah, we're going to play a game. You guys are going to say the same things, all right? And we are going to have the audience practice with their muscles to figure out who is the person speaking. So I'll give you the sentence to say, and then you guys will get to repeat it, okay?
All right.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
The first statement is, and Tommy, of course, you could start off, Matthew Schaefer is the new king of New York sports.
Matthew Schaefer is the new king of New York sports.
Go ahead, Sean.
Matthew Schaefer is the new king of New York sports.
Okay. So you can hear the difference. Now, Sean, the New York Knicks will never win an NBA championship. Go ahead, Sean.
The New York Knicks will never win an NBA championship.
Tommy!
The New York Knicks will win an NBA championship this year.
Okay. You're not playing the game fairly.
I don't want to be on the record for that, so you and Dan could clip that and play that in a year.
Tommy. I just made Sean have to say something he didn't like. I was going to be fair about this. I was going to go back and forth. He did not hesitate in calling Matthew Schaefer the new king of New York sports.
There's a reason for that. It's more important for me to clear my name that I am not the same voice as Tommy Lugauer than it is to be held accountable.
Lugie!
And I don't want to make Schaefer the king of New York either, so I was 0-2 in this little game of yours.
Come on, that's not fair. I can't play the game and teach the audience the difference between you numbskulls if you're going to refuse to say your part.
Just know this, audience. It is not Tommy Lugauer reporting. It is Sean Morehash reporting that Brian Daboll was fired off the plane in Denver.
That'd be the best part. The best part is if someone from the Giants calls up Tommy all pissed off saying, your report yesterday was crap.
It was Sean.
So good. I was in the pool.
You guys are so sensitive. I was going to get them to do lines so everyone in the audience can hear the difference.
I played the game.
I'm not mad at you.
It's not a matter of being sensitivity. It's being smart to sniff out your big plan that you're concocting, which is to have me and Sean on the record saying bad things about our sports team so you could play it back in April and go, remember when you said this in November? Yeah, when you were trying to tell the audience the difference or teach the audience the difference between me and Sean.
I honestly don't hear how you sound similar. I don't hear that at all.
I don't either.
Like, I really don't. I think you guys sound very distinctly different, but... he isn't the only one who says that. And it's just the bottom line. You guys are very, very similar sounding people. Let's go to Matt in Freehold. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to chime in on the Joe Shane situation. You know, I actually think that he should be fired, but I wanted to play devil's advocate because I'm a Broncos fan. And we saw firsthand when we hired Nate Hackett, he made our GM look like a clown, you know? And then all of a sudden Sean Payton comes in, and then you get a good coach paired with a good GM, and it's like, okay, now it's back to normal. So I think that maybe, you know, if we're going to come from that angle of, hey, Shane needs to stay, I think that there is some hope for him to get better and to, you know, eventually settle in more as a GM. But it is tough because they have had so much time. So, I mean... how much more time can you give these guys? You know what I mean? So
no,
I have to take my call.
I think that a full 4 years, also known as a presidential term,
yeah,
is a decent amount of time. Especially when, and here's the real key, and this is where the Jets are going to benefit. And it's kind of funny that this is the case, but I know Tiki has said this before. The biggest issue the Giants faced was their success early. Because everything got compared to it, and it's been all downhill since then.
Right.
If you start off, like, look at the Jets ground up, they go 2-15 this year, and then next year they go 4-13, and the year after that they go 6-11. Hey, that's a crappy 3 years, but you can easily tell yourself, but it's moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
The Giants aren't. And so it's not just, hey, they've been bad for 4 years, it's that the trajectory has been going down. And even now, with a quarterback that we're all in love with, they're not winning enough games.
That's exactly it. And last year, it was basically they went out of their way to tell you, hey, we're a quarterback away, a quarterback away. And the quarterback has become, along with the offensive line, by the way, the two things that we've crushed on this team, the least of the Giants' worries, and yet they're still 2-7. That becomes indefensible.
That to me is the thing that puts it over the top. But I do want to give Tommy something that you said earlier that I think you're right about, now that I give it more thought. But we were discussing Joe Shane, Brian Daboll. You know, like who deserves more blame, which is a major topic amongst Giant fans. And you brought up the fact, like, hey, look at the Patriots. I think you are right about that. I think when you look at the Patriot roster, because in fairness, I went back, I looked at it, I'm looking at the talent on that roster. That is a Mike Vrabel masterclass. And I think you're right about that. That what they've turned into from Gerard Mayo to Mike Vrabel is a testament to the point I think you're making, which is, hey, you put a really good coach, you'll see the difference. My only counter is I think Vrabel's really good, and there aren't a lot of really good coaches.
Top five coach.
So it's you're right is my point. Like, you are right, but it's tough to hold Daboll to the bar of, well, he's not Mike Vrabel. Well, no kidding. Most guys in this league aren't Mike Vrabel, but I do think your point about the Patriots is a good point, and I wanted to circle back and say I think you're right about that.
Thank you, and I also think you could look towards the Chargers, but again, they hired a program builder in Harbaugh. You would like, does Gruden fit that bill? Does Belichick fit that bill? I don't know, but I feel like the Giants need to hire that type of coach now with the roster that they have, because I've seen it with the Pats. I've now seen it with the Chargers, where they hired an adult in the room, and those teams have taken the next step with young quarterbacks.
I don't think, based on the recent circumstances of age and recent failures and being away from the game, I do not think that either John Gruden or Bill Belichick is Mike Vrabel.
Mike McCarthy, probably the only guy that fits the bill at this point.
How about Bill Cowher?
If there's like the Mount Rushmore of topics on WFN that you knew were going nowhere, but people would talk about it anyway. One is Wally Backman should manage the Mets.
Uh-huh.
Number two is Don Mattingly should manage the Yankees.
Yep.
And number three is Bill Cowher should coach either the Jets or the Giants.
Yep.
But yes, I think that ship has now sailed. Ben is in Florham Park, New Jersey. What's shaking today, Ben?
Hey, not much. There's only two real reasons to watch the Giants right now, and I want to talk about one of them. One is Brian Burns balling out, and the other one is development Jackson Dart. I wanted to talk about the QB room. I was surprised they didn't trade one of the backup QBs during the deadline. How do you see those guys helping him in his development week to week? And then the last question, do you think they would take umbrage if they were one of the backups were called in to close out a blowout game so Dart doesn't get hurt, like we've seen in some of these games, like Jalen Daniels did?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'd take umbrage. That's your job as a backup quarterback. And remember, only one, Ken, the guy who's listed as the actual backup.
Russell Wilson.
Because technically, Jameis Winston, while dressed, is only there in an emergency where both quarterbacks get hurt. Those are the NFL rules. As far as their development, look, they signed Jameis Winston to a two-year extremely affordable deal. So if we're being real, and I was reluctant to want Jameis Winston on this team, he seems to have been a really good leader for Jackson Dart, and there's no reason not to have him or trade him away when you could have him next year as a good enough backup that you hope only break glass in case of Jackson Dart hurt emergency. Russell Wilson, as far as that goes, he's off the team after this year. Would I have liked to investigate trading him? Sure. I got to be honest with you, though. I think they probably went to Russell Wilson, and if the right situation was there and the right offer there, maybe Wilson would have took it, but I get the feeling Russell Wilson really just likes being in New York with his wife and probably says, you know what, I'm gonna look good here, play the role as the backup, be the good teammate, and ultimately, I've wanted to be in New York for years, and here I am.
I would assume that's it, because I'm surprised that there was no traction on trading Russell Wilson. I was just surprised. You look around the league at some of the state of quarterback positions, Russell Wilson, while not the Hall of Famer he used to be, can still sling it, as the kids say, and can still be helpful.
Yeah, maybe he quarterbacks the Jets next year and gets a stay.
No, he's not going to quarterback the Jets next year. Why are you guys trying to put quarterback? Let me make this clear about what's going to happen with the Jets. They're either going to draft a young quarterback and Justin Fields will still be here, or they'll go big game hunting like I suggested yesterday for a quarterback that becomes available, like a star quarterback that becomes available that we can't even imagine right now or we surmise.
Yeah. But the day I heard Adam Schefter today mentioned Joe Burrow.
He took my idea.
You mentioned Joe Burrow? No, that was Schefter this morning.
Well, what was the open of yesterday's show?
It was me talking to you about Jalen Hurts.
That was the last 30 seconds.
Oh, got it.
We went through all the different veteran quarterbacks that could shake loose, that possibly could shake loose, and Joe Burrow is going to be the headline. That is not something that I originate. I think it's logic. I think everyone's going to originate that one. But I do have a new veteran quarterback that we did not mention yesterday that I think could also emerge as someone who would be worth trading for. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. But real quick, I want you to know if you are going to rescind this sports opinion. Are you ready?
All right.
This is you from April 25th, 2025.
Can this guy Dan go out for like a Coke and a burger, please?
No, he does your job very well.
All right.
I think we could officially say Joe Shane has built an enormously more talented roster than Dave Gettleman ever did.
Yep.
You stand by that?
I stand by it. Still not good enough.
Okay.
That's just more of an indictment of Dave Gettleman.
Andrew Thomas.
And Dexter Lawrence.
That's it. Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
Even Daniel Jones.
Eh.
Playoff team.
Joe Shane picked a better quarterback.
Well, I mean, probably will turn out that way, but Daniel Jones led the Giants to the playoffs. We haven't seen Jackson Dart do that quite yet.
No.
I think he will.
Yeah, I agree.
So you're not rescinding that comment?
No. I actually like the way I phrased it because I think no matter what, that's probably always going to be true.
If you make a player the qualifying offer, that player has a few weeks to simply accept it, which means they would come back on a one-year deal. This year, the value is at about $22 million. No harm, no foul.
Okay.
That's it. If they turn down the qualifying offer, you would receive a draft pick if they leave to go elsewhere. So in the case of the New York Yankees and Trent Grisham, the draft pick the Yankees would get if they made the qualifying offer to Trent and he turned it down is a fourth-round pick. Now, we may look at that and say, who cares?
Right.
It's something. It's something for nothing. But the risk of the qualifying offer is that the player says yes. And so that's the decision. Very simple, Yankee fans. Are you willing to offer Trent Grisham a deal of a one-year contract for $22 million? And if he says no, fantastic. Then you move on from him. You collect your draft pick. Everybody's happy. If you don't make any offer to him, he's just a free agent. And it is what it is. So my opinion, actually, before I give you my opinion, as a Yankee fan, as someone who watched Trent Grisham put together one of the best seasons of his career this past year, though he kind of no-showed the playoffs, what do you want to do? Do you want to make him the qualifying offer before 5 o'clock, or would you rather not?
I don't think this is an easy call one way or another. I just want to make that clear.
Is not an easy call, which is why at 3:26, there's no reports on
it. But I'm saying, just even from a Yankee fan instinct, there's a lockout looming potentially after this year. I don't want to offer him a qualifying offer.
So you wouldn't want him back on a one-year deal?
No, I really don't. I think it hinders what the Yankees need to be doing going forward. And I think if you pay him that, if he accepts it, you pay him that much. I also don't trust that the Yankees would look at it and go, well, now you're our fourth outfielder. I think he probably would stick and start in center. I think we're just going to keep delaying the process of what the Yankees are trying to do.
Yeah, I think the way to make this decision, Yankee fans, is to assume he's going to accept the qualifying offer. Yeah. Because if I was Trent Grisham's agent, I would tell him, if the qualifying offer was made to him, to accept it. Because despite having the best year of his career, an 800 OPS, 34 home runs, like, he was fantastic, I think that general managers are going to look at him and say, no.
Prove it again.
Yeah, we're not giving you a five-year contract. We're not going to pay you $20 to $25 million a season. I don't buy it.
Yeah, so, and the fourth-round pick, look, could that turn into something great? Could that turn into a prospect you trade down a lot?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, that is not worth it to have Grisham back, and that kind of hinder your offseason plan in any way.
That's why the answer to this question is, the best way to answer it, if you don't even want to care about the other stuff, is simply, would you want Trent Grisham back on a one-year, $22 million deal? Very simple. And if the answer is no, don't make him the qualifying offer.
That's it.
The reason my answer is yes,
all right,
is because I look at the Yankee roster right now and I say, okay, Jason Dominguez deserves a chance next year, but it's as a corner outfielder. I don't want to hear from you anymore how he's a center fielder.
No, they've told us a million times.
Okay, so he's a left fielder.
Yeah.
Spencer,
I don't agree with it, but he is.
Fair enough. Spencer Jones still has to earn this. Like, could he be a big factor in 2026? Absolutely. But he has to earn it. He has to have a big spring training. He needs to be impressive enough. And then, sure, he could become the center fielder. I love guys on one-year deals because Trent Grisham's got to go prove it again. Because much like Pete Alonso, the beautiful part about a qualifying offer is that you can only be offered it once. So once you play on it, which Grisham would, or in Alonso's case, he rejected it, you can't be made the offer again. So Grisham will go into this season on a one-year deal saying, all right, you bastards. And I'm not talking about the Yankees, everyone else. I'm going to prove to you I'm that good. I'm 29 years old. I'm in the prime of my career. I'm going to have a monster year. And then there's no qualifying offer attached to me. I'm going to get paid. So I think you're going to get the best of Trent Grisham. My opinion on Grisham all year has been I wouldn't give him a long-term contract. And I stand by that. That's why, sure, would I take him back on a one-year deal, even if it's a little bit of an overpay, making $22 million a year? I think I would. So I would make the qualifying offer to Trent Grisham.
There's one thing I agree but yet disagree in the Yankees case with you.
Go.
You have to make Spencer Jones earn it. Period, stop. I agree with that sentence. The problem with the Yankees is, and this is a consistent problem outside of ironically what they've done with Anthony Volpe, is the more veterans they pack in there, the harder they make it for guys to earn it. You saw it this year with Dominguez. Dominguez didn't get a long enough leash. I'm willing to give a guy that you refused to trade the last three trade deadlines to make yourself better a little bit of a longer leash. You've made the determination already by saying, screw it 2 years ago. We're not going to trade you for Tanner Scott. Like, you could have done all of that. You're going to continue with Spencer Jones to get older, make it harder for him to earn it by making Trent Grisham play because you're going to play him if you're paying $22 million. I don't like that aspect of it. I would rather make him earn it by finding signing Harrison Bader to a cheaper deal, if you will. Somebody you're not as stuck with.
So the difference is, because I like Harrison Bader, I think he makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. In a lot of ways, he makes more sense than Grisham because he's a right-handed bat.
Yeah.
He's going to want a multi-year deal. So would you rather
have a guy? Is he going to get
it? Yeah, I think off of what he did last year, probably. Probably. Okay. He had a great year with Minnesota and Philadelphia.
How many multi-year deals do you think are really going to... Do you think the lockout, looming lockout, threatens any of this at all?
Not really.
Where we see more one-year deals?
No.
Okay.
I don't think the lockout's going to have really that much of an impact. I think that the impact it should have is that small market teams shouldn't sell off players because they don't know what the format's going to look like in 2 years. So they should be more like, hey, like if I'm the Pirates, I would not trade Paul Skeens this offseason. Because what if, as honest, unlikely as it is, what if there is a salary cap coming out of the lockout?
That makes sense.
Like it wouldn't make, so I think that should be different, but I don't think it really changes that much when it comes to free agency. I think the Grisham thing, though, is fascinating. And look, we've got an hour and a half for the Yankees to decide. There's been no decision. Most of these qualifying offers are very simple. Like, the Mets are going to make the qualifying offer to Edwin Diaz. Why wouldn't they? I mean, gee, and Edwin Diaz is going to say no. And if somehow the Mets lose Edwin Diaz, they get a draft pick. Not that it's going to make anyone feel better, but you do at least want to walk away with that. The idea that you could turn Trent Grisham into a fourth-round pick, like, to me, that's stealing. I think that's great. Like, I almost look at it as if I'm willing to stomach a one-year deal for him, which I am, I gave you my case, and somehow he says no to the QO, great, I just got a free fourth-round pick. What's up? I'm good.
What I don't know, and maybe you're better, the one draft I really give a crap less about every game of the draft.
It's not about caring about the draft or even telling you they're going to get great players. It's, don't you have a better chance to succeed by getting an extra draft pick?
Sure. Like,
why not? Why would you say no to that?
I guess just my question would be, is there any way of knowing how many capable major leaguers come out of the fourth round every year?
Well, I mean, you can look. The one thing I know for sure, and it's not exactly the same, okay, is that Mike Hampton left the Mets as a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And the pick that they got from Mike Hampton, which was a sandwich pick, so it wasn't the same as a fourth-round pick, was used to select David Wright.
Right.
So sometimes, that's right.
That
right.
is right. That is right.
So sometimes, there's a story.
There is.
And wouldn't it be something if the Juan Soto trade, because remember, it's the Juan Soto trade, not only turned into a career out of Trent Grisham, but then turned into a fourth-round pick that you used to select, like, your next great second baseman? Like, it could potentially turn the Juan Soto trade into the trade that keeps on giving. So, I don't know. I'd make him the offer. But, Tommy, break that glass. As soon as we find out the information, we're going to find out in the next hour and a half because the deadline is 5 o'clock. So, as soon as you hear it, we break the glass and we can give an instant reaction to it because it's going to happen in the next hour and a half. And we asked Brian Cashman about this when he was on, and his initial response was, I don't know. And I genuinely believe him. And I wonder at 3:33 p.m., if they still don't know what they're going to do.
That's scary, too, at this point. You'd think you'd just have a decision made a week ago and know. Like, why?
It's a tough, because this is a tough one. We went back and forth on
it.
It's
a tough
admitting,
one for us as fans. Shouldn't an organization have a plan in place by now?
What?
I don't know.
They probably have a plan. It's just, is that really what he said when I asked that? Is that the genuine Brian Cashman? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's Boone.
Oh, that's Boone.
I do remember Cashman's first response was to hesitate when you asked him about it, and he said, that's a fair question.
It's a great question.
Yeah, and it was.
It's not like I'm inventing a great question. It is legitimately one of those qualifying offers that I think is fascinating. And as a Yankee fan, I'm sure you've got various opinions on it. So let's hear one. Ooh. Amir is in Newark, New Jersey. What's up, Amir?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
All right, listen. I like Grisham, but you got to let Jazz Chisholm lead off and Dominguez bat second. And Judge third, and let's go with the new speed game now. Could have tried the power game, but I believe that's the way we should go. Speed.
So get rid of him. You say goodbye. Yeah. Say goodbye to Grisham.
Well, I love him, but hey, man, we don't need him, man.
All right, fair enough. He says no to Trent Grisham.
I agree with that premise. What I don't agree with is formulating who's going to be 1, 2, and 3 in the Yankee lineup, because they're only going to change it 200 times throughout the season, no matter what.
they end up doing that quite a bit.
Yes. That's less fascinating now anymore with Yankee baseball.
Let's go to Jeff out in Las Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
I want to move on from Pete Alonso.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
He doesn't win.
Come on. He doesn't win. He had a game tie. He had a game-winning home run with his team season on the line. Okay, like, come on.
How many championships you got?
Is that on him? Is that on him?
It is on him. He threw the ball wide on Kodai Senga, and the season changed. So I got my replacement.
All right.
If you're willing to listen.
I'm willing to listen. I didn't like your reasoning for moving on from Pete, but we could agree to disagree. I am curious who you're replacing him with.
I am biased as a Las Vegas native. I want to trade for Bryce Harper.
Bro. What are we doing? Like, do you think on some planet Dave Stearns is calling up Dave Dombrowski and he's like, yo, what's up, bro? And he's like, yeah, what's up, Davey? And he's like, want to do Bryce Harper trade?
You might as well ask for Zach Wheeler back while you're at it.
I mean, come on. I get it. You like Bryce Harper. That's not real. That's not a real thing. And trust me, there are real things. And there's a lot of really intriguing options that the Mets can pivot to if they do let Pete Alonso go. You could have given me Josh Naylor. You could have given me Cody Bellinger. You could have given me Munetaka Murakami. You could have given me a lot of the Kyle Schwarber to DA. Like, there's so many ways you can go. And you gave me freaking Bryce Harper.
Who also, by the way, has never won. Let's just, like, throw
that
out there.
Well, that dumb argument was stupid to begin
but
with.
But he doubled down
on stupid by naming a guy inside the division.
Exactly, which is never going to happen. But let's just remind the audience, Bryce Harper has won just as many championships as Pete Alonso.
No, I know. I just didn't want to even dignify the first point.
He's not a winner?
He's not a winner. Aaron Judge isn't a winner either based on that.
Yeah.
Like, we got a bunch of losers in this town then. Who is a winner in this town? OG Anunoby is the one guy because he won a title in Toronto. Everyone else, you're a loser. Oh, Russell Wilson's a winner.
Brianna Stewart. Stewie.
There you go. We got a couple of winners.
Jameis Winston won in college.
Michael Porter Jr. is a winner.
That's
right.
That is right.
Running up a huge Uber bill and also a winner.
Let's go to Mike on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I just playing devil's with this whole Trent Grissom thing, since there's really no answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hardcore answer. But is he, if you do sign him, is he tradable at some point in the season if he's doing well and we feel somebody else can fill his role, maybe get, I don't know, a relief pitch or whatever? And the other question I have is, if you don't sign him, do you have plans for the $22 million? Where's that going?
All right, great question. So, is he tradable? Like, I'm going to use my own perspective as a Met fan because they could use a center fielder, right? So, hey, Evan, would you want to trade for Trent Grisham? He's on a one-year, $22 million deal. It's a lot of money, and it's an overpay, but if I'm not losing a draft pick, right? I'm not losing a draft pick, which you'd have to if he declined the qualifying offer. I'm not giving up a lot in terms of players. I have him on a one-year deal. If you can eat up some of that money, because I really don't want to pay him $22 million, yeah, I guess. But I guess that doesn't really help you. Because as a Yankee fan, you're thinking, well, am I going to get something of value? And the answer is probably not. Like, I don't think he would get you much back. But would I take him on a one-year deal? Sure. I think the issue that Trent Grisham's going to have in free agency, if he gets to free agency by not accepting a potential qualifying offer, is I'm not giving that guy multiple years. Like, I think last year was a fluke year. Would I be willing to give him a one-year deal to see him do it again? Sure, why not? I don't think there's any risk with a one-year deal.
You don't think there's anybody out there that's going to give him 3-4 years? For him to firmly take the qualifying?
With losing a draft pick?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I know.
You don't think the draft pick impacted Pete Alonso last year?
I'm sure it did.
So let's not minimize it. I know we don't think it's a big deal. We mock it. Like, it's a draft pick in baseball. Who gives a crap? You don't think teams say, I got to give up a draft pick plus the money and the years to a guy who throughout his entire career was a 195 hitter?
Yeah. I mean, I understand that he's still coming off a big year, plays a pretty important position. You know, 3 years, $70 million, something like that. He can't get a deal like that anywhere?
I don't think so. What we will do, though, and we can't do it today because Tiki's out unless we just exclude him, which I think he'd be hurt by, is free agency bingo, where we pick all the different big free agents, and very quickly we all make our predictions on where they'll end up and the years and money they'll get. Now, the beautiful thing about baseball free agency is it's so freaking slow that we could actually do this next week because nobody's signing. So that's the good news. Tiki, we're going to wait for you because when we get to next Tuesday, not a damn thing will have happened. And so we'll be able to do it. So that's a homework assignment. Start preparing, start thinking, start making predictions. contracts and destinations for a lot of the preeminent free agents. Kyle Tucker, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, Cody Bellinger. So get to work on that.
I like it. Bingo.
Bingo. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Look, first to that, the caller from Las Vegas' point, I don't know if he knows this, but Brian Cashman said that Bryce Harper would never materialize as a first baseman, so I might want to move on from that one. About Trent Grisham, look, I think it's a yes and, right? You can't make this kind of decision in isolation. And if the Yankees' plan is to go out there and spend and not let $22 million interfere with the rest of their free agency plans, great. I think that one of the interesting things about the Trent Grisham qualifying offer is that if he accepts, it forces the Yankees' hand a bit. You tell me if I'm wrong. It forces the Yankees' hand a bit in terms of their outfield logjam, right? They've got, like, you know, was it Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones coming up, who's getting older by the day.
Right.
I love the possibility of moving one of those two guys, if not both, to potentially bring back a really stud pitcher, right? And look, if he denies the qualifying offer, you keep the fourth-round pick, and you can, you know, still continue to develop those guys and give them a shot in the outfield. I think it's a really good opportunity to potentially look at trades for the Yankees.
Well, I think they should. Now, I don't know if it's a pitcher. I don't know if it's a young, stud, controllable position player, maybe to get them off the Anthony Volpe drug. But would they shop Jason Dominguez and or Spencer Jones? You guys brought it up yesterday when we were doing our Yankee offseason plan. I think you were including one of those guys in a trade for Sandy Alcantara or a trade for Stephen Kwan, which wouldn't solve the outfield logjam.
Alcantara, I had Dominguez for.
That's right. That's right.
But we had Heel going to Cleveland.
That's right. You had a separate deal in which Stephen Kwan was coming in. Also, how does it impact Cody Bellinger? Cody Bellinger, I was thinking about this last night because Tommy made a great point about Cody with the Mets. You guys as Yankee fans really want him back. And I started to give Cody Bellinger just a lot of thought in general about both teams and where he fits. And the thing I'm intrigued by with the Mets, and you brought this up yesterday, Tommy, and I love it. It's my favorite part of your idea. Is Bellinger in conjunction with Alonso, not to replace Alonso. Because I don't think he's as good, honestly. Like, he's just, no offense, he's just not as good. But Cody Bellinger on the Mets, with Pete Alonso being re-signed, could fill four different holes. Hear me out on this. Four different holes. Number one, he plays center field till Carson Benger's ready. That could be a week. Mm-hmm. That could be a month. That may be all year. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, he plays left field and forces Brandon Immo to DH a lot more than he did last year. That's position number two. Position number three, Cody Bellinger plays a lot of right field and forces Juan Soto to DH a lot more than he did last year. And then, of course, fourth position is first base to force Pete Alonso to DH a lot more last year. Cody Bellinger could actually make the Mets better at three different positions while improving their lineup all at the same time. Sometimes he plays left, sometimes he plays center, sometimes he plays right, sometimes he plays first, and he grades better than all of the guys that he's forcing to DH. So you're not telling Pete Alonso, much to the chagrin of our buddy Sal Licata, you're the full-time DH, you're just going to do it more. You're not telling Juan Soto you're the full-time DH, he's just doing it more. You're not telling Brandon Nimmo he's a full-time DH, he's just doing it more. So, I don't know, was that your vision with Cody Bellinger to do that? Because that part of it, I think, could really enhance the Mets.
Not to that extent, but I think you took my idea and made it even more brilliant, and that's why I think we agree on this.
We work as a team.
Cody Bellinger is more valuable. I'm not trying to make it a Met-Yankee thing, but he's more valuable to the Mets as a signing here because he could fill all the holes that you just brought up.
In conjunction with Alonso. Now, let's get to the Yankees on where he fits. So that's how I envision him with the Mets, where he makes them better defensively at four different positions, which is kind of crazy. Like, how often can you do that? So I look at the Yankees and I say, all right, where does he fit? Aaron Judge is the right fielder.
Sure.
Should he DH every once in a while? Sure. But it wouldn't be because of defense. It would be because you want to keep him fresh.
Can I stop you, though?
Yeah.
Because when you're signing Bellinger, we're assuming 7 years.
Are you kidding me?
Longer?
I'm not giving him 7 years.
I'm out. Short. Okay. Nine. I think he's going to get seven.
You think he's going to get seven?
I do.
I mean, you may be right. I'm just
looking at his age in this market. He's going to be the free.
Up and down nature of his offense.
But you just mentioned
the versatility.
I think the versatility is what's going to push you over the edge.
I want you to continue making your point. Forget it. Okay, seven years. Whatever. Okay.
I only say that to say, don't think about what he could do position wise just for this year. Aaron Judge could be a first baseman in 2-3 years, something like that, where he could eventually be the right fielder too. That's the only reason I'm just saying it. It's not just about this year.
Oh, 100%. And let's get to that, though. Okay, so Cody Bellinger, is he the New York Yankees center fielder upon being re-signed? Well, you have Spencer Jones.
Right.
Dominguez should be the left fielder. Or is Cody Bellinger your first baseman? You know, we've talked about Ben Rice, but it doesn't right. have to be Ben Rice.
Ben Rice could catch a lot.
He could catch. He could be traded.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go. My question is, to kind of answer, well, where does he fit better? I think he fits fine in both places. I don't think it has to be an either or. But that's my vision for Bellinger with the Mets. How would you envision him if you kept him with the Yankees?
My envisionment is they're going to end up trading either Dominguez or Spencer Jones, and he's either the left fielder or the center.
So he's an everyday
yeah.
either center or left fielder.
And if a deal doesn't work out, I love the flexibility of knowing he's good enough where he can move back and forth between first and the outfield, depending on the day if Rice uses flexibility.
Gotcha.
I do think he is. I don't think he has to be somewhere for 120 games.
Yeah. Yesterday when we were giving our suggestions on what to do, the reason I wasn't bringing him back wasn't because I didn't like him or think he could fit. It was I was allocating the funds in a different way, which is to improve my infield.
Right.
So if they're not going to do that and they're want an outfielder, whether it's Kyle Tucker or Cody Bellinger, Cody Bellinger's a fine fit with the Yankees. It's not like he doesn't fit there. He fits in both places, honestly. I don't think it has to be an either or, Tommy. I know you like to make it Mets versus Yankees, but I think he fits in both places.
Well, he's a fine fit with the Yankees. He's a great fit for the Mets.
He's a great fit if they keep Pete, and he does that plan we
100%. And also because you want a DH Soto more, and you want a DH Nimmo more. And Sean, with bringing back Bellinger, that also is that you're trading away Dominguez or Jones. If they don't do that, I don't think Bellinger is as great of a fit because you obviously have now a crowded outfield.
But not necessarily.
Because he could play first base.
I'm open to Ben Rice becoming this team's everyday catcher and thinking about Austin Wells in a different
way. But my point is you have to different position or different team.
Because
you'd have to
Wells?
Get rid of Wells he could, then. Is he going to play first base?
But I think that's the beauty of all of this. You could trade Dominguez, Jones, or Rice, or Wells. Like any one of those guys could be a package.
If there's a lesson from the Blue Jays, and even the Dodgers to a degree, it's nice to have position versatility.
Absolutely.
And the Ben Rice factor is something that very few teams have. A guy that can hit at that level and also catch and play first base, like that's abnormal. But having a guy like Bellinger, who, even though he hasn't played a lot of first base the last 5 years, we know he can do it and then be really good in left field, center field, and right field. I think the truth is with Cody Bellinger, he's one of those players that can fit everywhere. The question is, like, offensively, can he remain consistent? Because he has had a very up and down career, which is why I don't love him as an Alonso replacement. Because I don't think he's as good as Pete Alonso. I think you're losing a lot offensively by replacing Pete with Cody Bellinger, which is why if the Mets sign Cody Bellinger, would I be excited? It's like, well, what's his role? I mean, is he the offensive replacement for Pete? I would not be happy if he's back in conjunction with Pete or in conjunction with Alex Bregman or
right.
in conjunction with Josh Naylor. It would be like, okay, I like that.
Yeah.
So that's the way I view him.
Versatility.
Versatility, I say. Let's go to, let's get back to football. Let's get back to football with Connor and Goshen. What's up, Connor?
All right.
Hey, Connor. Connor going once.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Connor going twice. Connor is gone. By the way, I want to apologize to a certain New York athlete.
Okay.
A few minutes ago, we were talking about how we're all a bunch of losers and no one's won a championship, and we started naming names. We even named a pathetic name like Michael Porter Jr. I would like to personally apologize, as with Tommy, to Juan Soto.
Absolutely. Oh. How could we forget Juan? Just celebrated a birthday. We love you, Juan. We're thinking about you. Eat all the food you want in the offseason. Just show up in shape for spring training.
We're naming all the champions. We mentioned
amazing.
We mentioned freaking Michael Porter Jr.
Well,
we
forgot about
by the
Soto.
Way, forget Soto.
Not that it's Soto, but the guy we were just talking about, Cody Bellinger, won in the 2020 World
that
Series.
That is true.
So we forgot about Cody, too. We weren't you giving an eh? Now, come on, that's a real championship. That's a real championship.
Bringing
a winner here in Cody Bellinger.
Derek Jeter called it a half a championship.
It's one of the times I agreed with Derek Jeter. And he's like, it's half a ring. By the way, when Derek Jeter made that comment, when Derek Jeter said to Mookie Betts, how many rings you got? And Mookie gave his answer, and Derek put a half because he wanted to put down the 2020 title, he means it, bro. Don't give me this friendly banter crap. That's what he'll hide behind.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter absolutely meant it. That man is obsessed with championships. And when Mookie Betts' career is over and they are comparing the titles, you can bet your ass at a cocktail party, Derek Jeter is going to tell people that 2021 is a half a title. So I don't want to hear, oh, I was just joking. They're friends, they're buddies. Oh, no, they're friends and buddies. And I think to him he was joking, but Derek Jeter means it.
Oh, yes.
He's a killer. Let's go to Scott in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
How you doing?
Good. I'll tell you, unfortunately, I think your phone sucks. My apologies. We have to move on. But try to call back, and we'll pop you back up. I always feel bad for that. Let's go to Lorenzo in Keyport. Hey, Lorenzo.
If you'd give me a moment last time you hung up on me, I won't bring up the Brooklyn Nets. Don't worry.
Okay.
Although, play the rookies for the love of God. But anyway,
please.
The man from Milwaukee has really stated clearly this is about defense. I don't believe that Pete Alonso is the butcher at first that people like to say he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's adequate. He's okay. That said, my thought is this. If they're not going to sign him, which I don't think they are because that's what the GM has basically stated, I don't care about the bullpen. Get those guys at the trade deadline, but get Edwin back so that when we do have weight lead, we close it out. As far as the infield, put Arise at first. He could play second when he wants to. Get me Bo Bichette. And this is an oldie but goodie, and he's old, but he'll hit 18 home runs. Bring back Wilmer. Let him play first and third as a utility guy off the bench. And from there, I don't know the pitchers. They're obvious, but that's where the money should go.
Starting pitching. There you go.
I'm done with that. The bullpens are too inconsistent.
Yeah, bullpens are. I mean, the way I would view the bullpen is I would take a flyer on an arm or two. Right now, the Mets, assuming they could keep Edwin Diaz, already have A.J. Minter. They got Brooks Raley. Maybe you throw a flyer at a Luke Weaver who could bounce back off of last year. The defense, because David Stern spent so much time talking about run prevention, run prevention, run prevention. I was thinking about this. Where do the Mets need to improve their defense? Let's just be blunt. Right field defense wasn't good enough. Now, no one's benching Juan Soto. Sure. No one's DHing Juan Soto. But that's why having somebody like a Cody Bellinger who can play right field, let's say 30 or 40 games, at least in those 30 or 40 games, improves the defense. The other place where they will naturally be better is third base. When Mark Vientos played third base, he was a butcher. When Brett Beatty played third base, he played like a Gold Glover. Well, I am under the assumption, barring major trades, Brett Beatty's going to be the third baseman every single day. Right then and there, you've improved your defense at third base. What you do at second base is also a major question. Are you bringing someone in, a Bo Bichette, as our last caller just mentioned? Are you giving Ronnie Mauricio or Luis Angel Acuna that opportunity? But the defensive improvement is more than just first base. And to pin it on first base is not fair. Because I thought most of the year, Pete was adequate defensively. He just has moments that jump out at you. So, like, Sal has this great argument, even though I disagree with him, but it's such a great argument, and I respect good arguments, where he'll say, because I heard him say it earlier today, and it's, again, good argument. He'll say, hey, what's the turning point of the Mets season? And naturally, people are going to say, when Kodai Senga got hurt. Well, who made the bad throw?
Alonso.
He's right. Pete made a terrible throw. And, yes, it created the motions of the season turning. But I would argue there were thousands of other plays, and Pete was average. I'm not going to argue he's Mark Grace over there. He's average. It got bad at the very end, and yes, I'd like to put him in that flux that Juan Soto's in where you don't play every day at first base. You don't play every day at right field. Maybe there's 30 games now where you DH. That makes sense. Yeah. And that, if you get 30 games of less Juan Soto in right field and 30 games of less Pete Alonso at first base, have you just improved your defense?
Okay, but those become 60 games of not Vientos DHing then and playing third.
Well, I didn't say a damn thing about Mark Vientos.
That was peculiar that you didn't because you mentioned Beatty playing every day at
Mark
third.
Vientos may not be on this team.
So you think he's going to be traded?
It's not relevant to the conversation. He's not guaranteed an everyday job.
Okay.
Like, if he hits
enough. Interpreted that as he becomes the full-time DH, in which case he's not when those guys are playing.
I don't think the best way to improve them at defense is to not have a full-time DH.
Okay.
The best way to improve their defense is to have guys who defend better, which allow your lesser defenders, who are also really good hitters, hello Pete Alonso and Juan Soto, to DH more. Look, if we're going to make a big deal about defense, and I'm talking to David Stearns and everybody else, They mention Juan Soto's name. That's all I'm going to say. And again, that doesn't mean he sucks. It doesn't mean bench him. It means be fair. If you're going to talk about Pete Alonso like he's a klutz at first base, we're just going to ignore Juan Soto in right field? We're like going to make believe he's Roberto Clemente out there? Because that's not true. I'm serious.
I know it's not.
So again, if you improve yourself where there are guys that can take 30 games, because you did good math to get to 60.
Thank you.
30 games of no Pete at first base, but he DHs. 30 games of no Juan Soto in right field, but he DHs. You've improved your defense, and you keep your offensive stalwarts in the lineup.
Hashtag run prevention.
Hashtag run prevention. More of your calls next, plus Alex Rodriguez responds to Brian Cashman's criticisms of Alex Rodriguez's criticisms of Brian Cashman.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.